As we transition into our sermon this morning, please have your Bibles ready in the book of Daniel. Now, before we look at our passage today, I did want to start by saying that a long time ago, a man from the Bible wrote these words about God. I think that's the next slide. Look at these words. There's our theme. That's always good to know our church theme. But the next slide. And look at these words for a second. It's a declaration. These words were written about our God. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. Isn't that an incredible declaration about our God? How great to be able to read this every day before you start your day, as you end your day, to be reminded about these words of our living, awesome, almighty God. But what a declaration. In reading these words, one can't help but think that the man who wrote them was someone who walked with the Lord for many, many years. Now, before I ask you who you think wrote these words, boy, do they sound not like words that came from someone like Abraham or Moses or King David or Peter or Paul in the New Testament. Who do you think wrote these words? Huh? I didn't hear the name yet. No? Starts with a D. Darius. Who? Darius. This was written by a pagan king who just witnessed firsthand the power of God at work in someone's life. This was a defining moment for King Darius in Daniel 6. And that someone, the someone whose life he had just seen an incredible work of God in, was Daniel. And this was the king who was ruling at the time. And this was words of the decree that King Darius made. So let me actually read to you our passage which led up to this decree. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19 to 23. Let us hear the word of the Lord. And if you're familiar with the story of Daniel and the lion's den, this will come back to you quite quickly. Daniel 6, 19 to 23. At the first light of dawn, the king, this is King Darius, he got up and he hurried to the lion's den. And he hurried and he got up probably for anybody else because he had a relationship with Daniel. He loved Daniel. He respected Daniel. And it was hard for him to see what happened to Daniel. When he came near, verse 20, the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. Love that last line, because he had trusted in his God. I hope this morning as you hear those words, can you say that about your life this week after adversity, after challenge, after illness, that you still trusted in God. And this led to that decree that we opened up with. King Darius had just experienced a defining moment in his life. And it's because of a man named Daniel who was a servant of the Lord who did not compromise his faith. And as a result, he honored the God of Daniel with that decree. When King Darius had the stone rolled away from the lion's den to see what had become of his friend Daniel, the servant of God, what he saw changed his life. Daniel did not have a scratch on him. How was that even possible? Impossible with man? Not possible. Not impossible with God. And after calling out to Daniel, asking, "Daniel, are you still alive in there? What happened?" Daniel did not hesitate to say that his almighty, living and loving God, whom he serves, had kept the lion's mouth shut and had saved his life. The God of Daniel had rescued Daniel. And the God of Daniel rescues and saves today. Amen? God divinely intervened in Daniel's life. And don't you love it when God steps into our lives and rescues us, divinely intervenes and leads us, divinely intercedes and guides us and helps us through our troubles. Now, in response to Daniel's testimony and the miracle, the wonder that his life had not been taken by these ferocious animals, he makes this declaration that was to across the land. He made a decree in every part of his kingdom. And he said, the God of Daniel has done this, and we must revere him. Wow, what a commitment. What a commitment in Daniel's life to God. God had used this servant, his faith and commitment to change this king's life. Now, if you know anything about Daniel, you likely know the story of Daniel and the lion's den. But for those of you that don't, let me just recap a few moments of it. Years earlier, King Darius had appointed 120 men who would be accountable to keep him as the king from being defrauded or betrayed, to keep him in line. And over that group, he placed three administrators who would answer directly to him. And yes, one of them was Daniel, the servant of God. So Daniel was placed in a very strategic position. God had him there for a purpose. Little did Daniel know the defining moment that Darius would have because of Daniel's commitment to God. And so Daniel was such a capable worker for the king that he put him in charge of everything. Now, not everybody was very happy with this. Everyone doesn't always like the leader, the one over them. There's often jealousy and envy. Others think that they should have gotten that position. And so what happens is many of these other officials went to work to try to find something Daniel was doing wrong so that they could bring him down. Do you think they found anything about Daniel? Absolutely not. Daniel was different. There was something about him that they just couldn't figure out. They couldn't find any dirt on him. He was such a man of integrity, a man of godliness, a man of faith. So what do you do when you can't find dirt on somebody? Well, you try to create some. And so that's what happened. These officials went to the king, King Darius, and said, we have voted and we believe that the king should establish a rule for 30 days. And in those 30 days, no one across your kingdom should make any petition or prayer request to any other god except you, for that matter, other than the king. And unfortunately, King Darius went for this. He was tricked and he signed into this decree that led, really, to Daniel's demise. A decree meant to destroy Daniel's life. And so because of this decree, eventually Daniel is arrested because he was found guilty of praying to God. Daniel did not stop and did not waver in his prayer to God. And as stated in the decree, the punishment, well, he was thrown into the lion's den. But his life is not destroyed, and God saves him. And it was not destroyed as those who were seeking it would. But yeah, God rescues Daniel from the lion's den, as we heard earlier. In the Bible, in Daniel chapter 6 and more, Daniel stands as an example to us of one who is steadfast in his faith. When facing adversity, when facing changes, he does not waver in his commitment to God. He was a man, when you think about it, he chose God first. He chose God first above the law of the land, before King Darius. But when you think of his life and what he had to go through, the adversity, the struggles, the change that Daniel constantly had to deal with, they all come to us as well in our own lives. In our own lives, in our own families, we face illness, we face tragedy. We are tempted to compromise. We face health and financial woes. We have family struggles. We have aging. I could go on. So what this morning do we need to handle these obstacles? Well, as we look at Daniel's life in chapter 6 this morning, we learn three things about Daniel that I hope will encourage you as you leave today in the face of your adversity and challenges. Because what did Daniel have? As he handled change, as he faced adversity, Daniel had, first of all, he had character. He had godly character. He had commitment and he had faith. So think of those three words this morning, certainly as they apply to your life. Character, your commitment, your faith. First of all, Daniel had character, godly character. In Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 5, we learn that it pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. Verse 3, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, of course, they're not happy about this. And if you go down to later in verse 4, they try to find something about Daniel that they could use against him. But it says they find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. And verse 5, finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." Just think of the word character. And Daniel's character as we learn about it today. Think about your own character. Character is who you are. Character has been defined as who you are when nobody is watching. Character goes with you throughout your life. And here are some positive character traits, just to warm your thoughts up about what is character. What is godly character? Character traits, some are positive, could be, well, courageous, dependable, faithful, honest, kind, active, cooperative, determined, honorable, adaptive, careful, hopeful. Those are some words, positive words of character traits. The opposite, some negative character traits would include cruel, impatient, mean, rude, aggressive, ignorant, miserable, careless. Now, what does the Bible give us when it comes to Christian character? Well, first thought that comes to my mind is the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. The Bible gives important instruction on godly character, the character that Christ wants to build in us as we walk with Him. So the fruit of the Spirit is always the first place to start when it comes to godly character. Now, the highest standard of character is set forth in Scripture and exemplified in none other than Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Shepherd. And all who are serious about following Jesus are called to live a life worthy of the gospel, a life of trusting God, resisting the evil influences around us and that arise from within. But such character, godly character, is not built overnight. Godly character, if you haven't already learned, is developed in us day by day by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in us as we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, the kingdom of God, and His righteousness. Did Daniel have godly character? He did, so much so that they couldn't find anything, any corruption in him. But character is built. It is built throughout life, brick by brick. Let's look again to Daniel's life, because Daniel's life demonstrates how that works. For instance, in Daniel chapter 1, when he was offered food and wine offered to idols, Daniel took a stand. And Daniel took a stand because he was a Jew who would eat kosher. In Daniel chapter 2, when God revealed Nebuchadnezzar's dream to Daniel in the night, he refused to take credit for his wisdom, praising God instead. And when the interpretation of a second dream was revealed to him, he courageously spoke the truth to Nebuchadnezzar, and in doing so, risked his life to speak truth to power. So Daniel was a man who was honest and brave and courageous, but behind Daniel, of course, is the power of God at work in his life. In Daniel chapter 5, when a different king, King Belshazzar, tried to buy his services by offering Daniel a gold chain and high position, Daniel politely told the king he could keep his gifts to himself. And it was said of Daniel, no one could find even a hint of corruption or negligence. And what does that teach us about Daniel, the servant of the Lord? Boy, does it tell us a lot about his character. A man of integrity, a man of loyalty, a man of faith, a man of humility. He was trustworthy and honest. Can people say that of your character today? Because of his godly character, also God blessed him. And I know that today God wants to build in you as well, godly character as well. But this is a process, and it takes time as we surrender our lives to God each day, and we walk by faith and not by sight. It involves growing ever closer to God and relying on Him to help us in our ways and to avoid those things that would cause us to stumble. You know, the essence of building godly character can be found in James chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Let me read it to you. James chapter 1, verses 21 to 22. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's the essence of building godly character. It's doing God's word. It's learning and hearing God's word and giving your life over to God so that He can build in you the character that honors Him. Daniel had godly character. But not only did he have godly character, he had commitment. He had commitment. You know, we learn in Daniel 6, after the decree, they wonder, oh, is Daniel going to continue to pray? Daniel, he knows full well this new decree. And so if you're thinking about Daniel, put yourself in Daniel's position. Are you going to continue to pray, even though it might mean being arrested? Well, Daniel continues to pray. And why does Daniel pray 3 times a day on his knees? And it wasn't for show, although others saw what he did. He prayed to God and continued to pray to God, even in light of this decree, because he had made a lifetime commitment to live as a child of God. And he had sealed that commitment 3 times every day in prayer. He had made it a personal daily habit to give thanks to God. Daniel 6, verse 6 to 10 says this. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. What's Daniel going to do? He continues to pray, and he prays to God because of this commitment he made to God. You know, when you think of commitments, and we are all people of commitment, we've committed ourselves to one thing or another. Those commitments are going to be tested each and every day. But with God's help, with the strength that He provides and the encouragement that you can receive from other believers, we can discipline ourselves to persevere through that testing. Whether, you know, a commitment to worship, for instance, every week together, a commitment to have personal daily devotions, a commitment to pray, reminds us that God comes first. So this new law that King Darius decreed, it put Daniel in a tough place. He knew full well what the decree meant. This law had put into place to block anyone from praying to anyone other than the king. And Daniel was a believer who prayed regularly to God. So when we are tested, when our commitment to God, when our commitment to living out the Christian life is tested, the greatest temptation you will face, as Daniel faced, is to compromise. To compromise your commitment to God, to compromise your beliefs, to compromise your ethics, your morality, to compromise your Christian convictions. Daniel, he could have just stepped back from a prayer life for just 30 days. What's 30 days when you think of the whole year? But that didn't happen. What happened to Daniel 3,000 years ago is happening also today. We're tested to compromise. But Daniel didn't. And I pray that you will not as well compromise your Christian faith, your convictions. You know, we are asked to compromise our beliefs. And again, it's happening today to every teenager, to every college student, to every adult. We live in a very secular society that has tossed God aside and His word, and we see it at every turn. There is a battle going on for the hearts and minds of our children and of our youth, of our everyone, every adult. Satan and the world want to capture us. So the world wants us to conform to their standard. The Bible makes that clear. So you and I have choices we must make. But the Bible also makes it clear what choice we are to follow. 1 John 2, verse 15 to 16 says, do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. So Daniel has to make this choice. Am I going to compromise my beliefs, my practice, my practicing my faith, my prayer life? Am I going to compromise this so that I will remain safe for 30 days? Am I going to remain committed to God and his kingdom, or am I going to give in to this world? And as the story goes, and as it is revealed, Daniel takes a stand. And it was a defining moment. But you know what? It was not just a defining moment for Daniel, was it? It was also a defining moment for Darius, who knew of the God that Daniel served. And he wondered, would Daniel remain true to God? There are always people watching us, watching your Christian life, wondering if you will remain true to the living God and his word when all around us, our society is changing. And the compromise is all around us. And how sad when that compromise finds its way into the church. So Daniel makes a choice, and he takes a stand, and not just for him. Now, because of his commitment to be a man of prayer to Almighty God, Daniel, well, he suffered those consequences. He broke the law, and he was arrested, and as we know, his punishment was to be thrown into the lions. Certain death, one would think. Which leads me to my last word about Daniel. Because not only do we see how he handles change with character and he handles adversity with commitment to God, but lastly, he handles change and adversity with faith. So as the stone is rolled away on that morning when Darius runs down to check on Daniel, we can only guess what went through Darius's mind. There's nothing left of Daniel. However, Daniel's faith was not based on wishful thinking, but on God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness in the past. God's powerful presence in the future and in the present. He is a promise-keeping God. So in the lion's den, what did Daniel have? He had God, and that was all he needed. And I believe the faith that Daniel had once he was thrown into that lion's den earlier, that previous day, the faith that he had is also the faith that is expressed in Daniel 3. Daniel's three friends had said this earlier. If you're familiar with this story, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So earlier in Daniel chapter 3, again, that commitment to God. You shall have no other gods before me, the Lord has said to us, to those that follow him. And these three earlier in Daniel chapter 3 had made a statement. Took a stand as Daniel does here. Such a reflection of their faith in God and their commitment to him. Yes, the lions were real. A very real threat to his life. Yet Daniel called out to God and God answered him. And God saved him. And God rescued him as God rescues today. And Daniel's story ends well in Daniel chapter 6. Not only was he protected from the lions, but his enemies fell prey to the trap that they laid for him. You know, Darius praised God. Darius honored the Lord with this decree. And Daniel continued to prosper even into the reign of King Cyrus after Darius. But what a defining moment for Daniel. But what a defining moment for Darius and all who witnessed the God of Daniel at work in his life. So as we close, let me remind you today from Daniel's life, we serve a God in heaven and he is in control. And he is faithful and he is sovereign. You know, when life may feel out of control, he is not. Someone much greater than us, much more powerful, is holding your life together. At any given time, things can change for the worse. We know that's a reality of life. And in those moments, the greatest decision you can make is to continue to completely trust in God and love him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Paul puts it well in Romans 8, nothing could ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So from Daniel's life this morning, we learn the importance of handling change and handling adversity with character, with commitment, and with faith. So put your trust in God and allow him to lead you. Why? For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the life of Daniel. We thank you for your word, Lord, that reveals to us that you have a purpose and a plan for our lives, that you are with us. And that, God, even though we struggle and we are weak and we fail, and at times, Lord, we just can't do it, we know that you can, that you are all-powerful, powerful to save. You rescue. You could rescue lives, and you are rescuing marriages, and you are rescuing troubled teenagers today. And we pray, God, that we will never, ever cease from praying for one another and lifting each other up in prayer, so that the work that you're doing in our lives, God, will grow and increase. God, if there's anyone in here today, Lord, that has been struggling with faith, Lord, we just pray that you would pour out from heaven in their lives now an increase, a fresh outpouring of faith. Lord, for those in need of your healing touch, we pray in the name, in the powerful name of Jesus, that you would bring healing to their lives, whether it's physical healing they need, emotional healing, spiritual healing. Thank you, God, that you are our great physician. You are our great healer. And we praise you. And Lord, as Daniel exemplifies for us today, Lord, help us to not compromise. Help us to take a stand on the word of God. When the world is coming against us, Lord, may this world know who we serve, who we worship. Thank you again, Lord, for your word. It is true. It is living. It is changing lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.